Good morning, Marine Assembly of God. My name is Mark Pusey.
And I'm Daniel Omerji.
And today's sermon is titled,
Even in the Wilderness.
Now, before Jesus ascended into heaven, he told his followers that he will be with them always, even to the end of the age.
Even as believers in Jesus Christ, we still can sometimes forget that God remains with us through the darkest points of our life. At times, our minds can become filled with lies from the enemy. And when things are tough, we may begin to tell ourselves we have nothing or no one to lean on in this life's journey.
But the Bible preaches the exact opposite of this. As a matter of fact, Romans 8:38 says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord."
Exactly. The Bible tells us that God is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit.
The Bible also tells us that God blesses those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
The Bible tells us that God blesses those who mourn, for they shall be comforted.
The Bible tells us that though we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we should fear no evil.
Today, we will be taking a look at the Israelites' exodus from Egypt and how they decided to deal with the time they spent in the wilderness.
Please keep in mind that the wilderness we are referring to represents the valleys, the struggles, the hard points in life that challenge you as a person and a follower of Jesus Christ.
As you follow along today, we encourage you to take a look into your personal life in the current wilderness period that you may be going through and see how you can actively apply the things you hear today.
And remember, whether you're a shepherd boy facing a giant,
a man swallowed by a big fish,
a barren woman praying for a child,
or a man thrown into the lion's den,
God is always with his people,
even in the wilderness.
Thank you.
Come on, church. Come on, church. We gotta encourage them. Come on, church. Man, oh man, oh man. Man, God is doing some things in and through our youth, isn't he?
Yes.
Man, if I were asked to do that at their age, I wouldn't know if I would be able to do it. I would have randomly caught the flu that Sunday morning. I don't know. And if you know my parents, they would have still picked me up and dragged me out of bed anyways. Man, it is a pleasure. It is a pleasure. It is a pleasure to be in the house of the Lord. My name is David Wedderburn. I have the privilege and honor of bringing the word this morning. I serve as one of the leaders here at Marion Oaks Assembly of God's Lighthouse Youth Ministry. That is our youth ministry from grades 7 through 12. And I have the absolute pleasure of bringing the word this morning. Now, as you turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 15, verse 2. Exodus chapter 15, verse 2. If this is your first or second time in church, I know you might be thinking, if you didn't hear him say it already, that's not Pastor Tim. No, I know. I know. I know. I hate to break it to you. I know we look identical. I know. Listen, twins practically, right? There is, of course, one distinct difference between myself and him, and that is the beard. I know you were thinking it. The beard is a difference between myself and Pastor Tim. So now that you know that it is David preaching, and as you heard, if you came in late, he and Pastor Jan are will not be with us this morning in the physical, but I know that they will be with us in the spirit. Amen. And so while we have their presence in the spirit, can we just give them a round of applause for all the things that they are doing for this church, for God's house, for God's kingdom, advancing his kingdom, trusting the service to the youth. We just honor you, Pastor Tim and Pastor John. We thank you. We honor you. And we love the fact that God is working in and through you for his kingdom. And now before we take a dive into God's word and the modern application that it has into our own lives, they don't know that I'm going to be calling them out yet, but they do now. Can Lizette Lopez, Joe Honore, and Amber Morton, can you stand, please? Can you stand, please? Listen, like you heard me say, I am one of the leaders here at Lighthouse Youth, but those that are standing, Lizette, Amber, Joe, I would not be able to do this without y'all. We would not be able to have a successful ministry without y'all and the hard work, dedication, sacrifice that you three have put in. And so can we just give them a round of applause and encouragement? And I also want to point out someone who, again, is not with us physically, but is with us in the spirit, and that is Deacon Jose Lopez. Jose, I know you're watching online. I know you're with us in spirit. I know you're praying for us, and we thank you. I know you can't be here right now because you're serving your country, but we thank you so much for the things that you are doing overseas, for not just for your country, but for God and His kingdom. So we honor you for that. We honor you. And I know some of you are wondering if this is your first time here, if this is your first time. I know you're thinking, man, why is he making me clap so much? Why is he making me so interactive with the sermon? Well, listen, the Bible says, "Thou shalt not muzzle the ox while it treads its grain," and we have to pay the wages that is due to its laborers. So we just love to encourage. We love to encourage our ministry leaders. We love to encourage those that volunteer to advance the kingdom. We need to encourage them and give them and thank God for the things that He is doing in and through them. So now that you know that, remember, if you see them walk, just give them a word of encouragement. Not even those that are in Lighthouse Youth, but those that are in the other building with Kids Zone, those that are in Baby Zone, K-Pal, Kids Praise on Wednesday. And I know I'm going to be forgetting a ministry or two, so forgive me, but please encourage the leaders that Christ has chosen to do His holy work. Amen? Amen. Amen. And the church said amen. Praise God. And the other thing is this, you know, as you guys know, and it's really the base point of the sermon that's going to be brought to you today, that work is not easy. It's not easy all the time. Sometimes it can be challenging, especially when you try and do it by yourself. And sometimes it can even be tiring. And I'm sure if you haven't been involved, it can be tiring. So look to the screen. I'll give you a prime example of what that looks like. Elijah, go ahead and put up that picture. When you're working all day for the Lord, it can get a little bit tiresome. It can get a little bit tiresome. Man, I'm so glad that I got to thank his mom and him for giving me permission to share that with you this morning. But praise God. Who's ready for the word this morning? Man, somebody say finally. Somebody say finally. Amen. The title of the sermon today is Even in the Wilderness. Even in the Wilderness. Go ahead and find Exodus 15, verse 2 for me, please. Exodus 15, verse 2. And before we go ahead and talk about what I'm going to talk about, I need to give you a little bit of background context to what is about to be spoken. So forgive me, because if you're watching online or if this is your first or second time in the house of the Lord, it will be remiss of me to assume that you know what is about to be preached, to assume that you know about the Israelites' exodus from Egypt. So I need to give you a little bit of context for the situation that we are going to be dissecting today. Amen? Amen. Okay, so, and I'm gonna make it brief. So if I look at this point in history and I skip over some key points that is dear to your heart, please forgive me. You think you can do that? Okay, I appreciate that. So God used Abraham, someone from way, way back, and he, because of his faithfulness to God, because of his trust in God, he said that your descendants will be made as numerous as the stars in heaven. And so God is always good on his promise. But this is the issue. God's chosen people, the Israelites, what happened was they found themselves in Egypt, and for 400 years they were under oppression and slavery. It was not good, not good at all. But God is always with his people. God is always with his people. And he heard their cry, he heard their oppression, and he answered them. He elected a man named Moses to speak for him, to speak to Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, to talk about letting his people go. I want to talk about that right now. It says he elected Moses, and he selected Aaron to help Moses out. And he said this in Exodus 5, stay in 15, but Exodus 5 verse 1, it says, "Afterward, Moses and Aaron went and told Pharaoh." Now listen, if this is, like I said, this is going to be your first time hearing me preach, the words that are in bold, okay? The words are in bold. I want you all to be interactive with this sermon, amen? So the words that are in bold, those bolded words, I want you to recite that. I want you to say that, all right? We're going to do a little test one right here. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness," right? So God is using Moses to tell Pharaoh, he's telling him, hey, listen, I want you to let my people go, let them hold a feast for me. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Pharaoh didn't want to heed the word of God. Pharaoh wanted to do it his way. And so a long story short, I'm gonna make it real quick for you. There were 10 plagues sent on Egypt because of his disobedience. 10 plagues sent on Egypt because of his arrogance. 10 plagues sent on Egypt because he wanted it to do his own way. And so eventually after that 10th plague, all the firstborns of the Egyptians, all the firstborn males passed away. God took their lives because of disobedience and because of arrogance. And so what happened was after that, Pharaoh finally said, you know what? You can go ahead and go into the wilderness. You can go ahead and sacrifice to your God. And so God called all his people up through Moses and Aaron, and they went on this journey into the wilderness. And it says this in Exodus 13, verse 21 and 22. Remember, the words that are in bold, I need you to preach. The words that are in bold, I need you to say. It says Exodus 13, 21 to 22, and the Lord went by day in a pillar of cloud to the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them so as to go by day and night. He take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Listen, if this is your first time hearing that story, and if you've heard it many times, again, if you've heard it many times, if you've read this, my Bible scholars that are in the building, if you know this story like the back of your hand, and by Bible scholars, I don't just mean those with a paper. I mean those that know the Word of God like it's themselves. Amen. I mean those that have been studying the Word of God, those that are looking to show themselves approved for God. You know that it's this reason right here that God is doing all this. In Exodus 14 verse 18, he says, remember to read it with me. Then the Egyptians shall that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots and horsemen. Why? Because when God was taking them out of Egypt, Pharaoh had a change of heart. Pharaoh decided to come chase the people that he said, hey, you can go. No. He decided to chase them out to bring them back. And so God, instead of going out, God said, no, listen, I want you to turn around and camp at this special spot. I want you to camp at this special spot. And he said that because he wants to let all of Egypt, to let the world know that this is a historical event now. He wants everyone to know that he is the Lord and that he will have dominion over the enemies of his people. So that is the reason why he did that. And the Israelites, they were frantic. I mean, they were all over the place. They were like, did you take us out of Egypt for us to die in the wilderness? Why would you do this? Listen, point number one, I want you to understand this. God is always with his people. Go ahead and write that down. God is always with his people. And this is where in Matthew 28:18-20, for those of you who may know this as the Great Commission, Jesus tells us this. Jesus, after dying and being rose again on the third day, and right before he's about to ascend into heaven, he says this in Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the and of the teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. Amen. God is always with his people. And I know if this is your first time hearing this story, you might think, man, David, that's a little bit much. No, I mean, God could just take them out. God could have done this all these different types of ways. Why did he go to those ends? Why did he make an example out of Pharaoh? Why did he do all of these things? Listen, I need you to know something if you didn't know today. If you don't know who Jesus is, if you never accepted him into your life, if you don't know his goodness, if you don't know his mercy, if you don't know his grace, I need you to understand this. That God is crazy about you. that God is crazy about you. He is crazy in love with you, and this is a testament to tell you that he will do anything, anything. You heard Romans 8:38. There is nothing that can separate the love of God for us through Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus our Lord. He was willing to do anything to set his people free. He has never left them, and I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know what is in your heart, but I'm telling you, he never left them, and he will never leave you. He is with you always, even to the end of the age. He is with you always, even to the end of the age. And so in this circumstance, when the Israelites were, they had these mixed feelings. They were confused. They were frustrated. They were angry with Moses. Why did I put my faith in you? You know what God did? God took Moses. He said, stretch out your hand. And the Red Sea in which they were in front of, he told them that the Egyptians that you will see today, you will see no more. Because through Moses, he split the Red Sea so that the children of Israel could walk on dry land. Listen, and as they went through that Red Sea, as they went to the end, to the other side, what happened? He closed the sea on his enemies, on God's enemies, on God's enemies of his people, and they saw them no more. Someone say amen. Listen, now we're in Exodus 15, verse 2, and it says this. What happened? So Exodus 14 is when the Red Sea was split open. Exodus 14 is when they were delivered, and of course, they understood. They were able to see the glory of God, so they were filled with excitement. They were filled with joy. They were filled with wonder of all the things that God did for them. They couldn't contain themselves. I know if you know the book of Psalms, I feel like David and Asaph and all the psalmists, they got their inspiration from this chapter right here, because this is what they said. Exodus 15, verse 2, the Lord is my and my song, and he has become my. He is my God and my Father's God, and I will exalt him. I mean, they were singing praises to God. They were so infatuated with his power, with his grace, with his love, with his might. I mean, they could not contain it. Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, when I read this, I could just tell that a wedding reception had nothing on that day. A wedding reception had nothing on that day. A birthday party had nothing on them. I'm talking about a 50th anniversary, a 25th anniversary, had nothing on the excitement that they had. A nine-night had nothing on them. They were having a grand old time after that. They were excited, elated, infatuated with the God of their fathers. And they were so filled with joy. Listen, to Exodus 15, verses 14 to 15, it actually says this. They were talking about the might of the Lord, and they wrote and they said this, the people will hear and be afraid. They said, sorrow will take hold of the inhabitants of Philistia. It said, then the chiefs of Edom will be dismayed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling will take hold of them. All the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away. They were so proud of the God that chose them. They were so proud of the God that was with them. I mean, they had, when you read this, you would think that they had crazy faith, amen, to match the crazy love. Listen, it even says this, I want you to read this part too. I really want to press in on the fact that they were so trusting in God after what he had just did for them. They even said this, they said in Exodus 15, 17 through 18, you will bring them in and plant them in a mountain of your inheritance in the place, O Lord, which have made for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Oh my goodness, I'm talking about, this was amazing. Listen, I encourage you, if you've never heard that story before, if you've never read the Exodus from the Israelites from Egypt, you must read it. I mean, in that chapter, it even talked about how Aaron's sister, Miriam, the prophetess, I mean, she had a timbre. I'm talking about a tambourine now, old school tambourine. She brought all the women. She was having a grand old time singing praises to God because of what they had just did. And in the same chapter, we're sticking in Exodus 15, 22 to 25. Listen to me. Remember, what's in bold, I want you to read. Exodus 15, 22 to 25. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. They went out of Shur, and they went in the wilderness and found water. Now, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. I want to stop right there. Before we go any further, you heard in the excerpt that was read to you that this wilderness period, when we're talking about it, I don't just literally mean the wilderness. I mean, for those of you who have been praying a prayer and it hasn't been answered yet. I mean, for those of you who are waiting on a move of God, for those of you who need healing, for those of you who need mental restoration, for those of you who are struggling, if you look at this, they were singing all those praises right after they were delivered. They were singing all those glory to God. God, I love you. You are amazing. And it took just 3 days. Listen to me now. It took just 3 days into the wilderness for them to forget all of the things that God just did. For them to go back to the way they were in Egypt. For them to, if I may say, backslide into that thinking of sin, going into a debased mind, not sowing to the Spirit like Paul talks about in Galatians 6. I mean, it is crazy to think, but I want to challenge you tonight. I want to challenge you this morning. And listen, you got to forgive me because I didn't warn you. I'm not one to pull punches when it comes to the Word of God. I'm not. And it wouldn't be right. So I really want to ask you, I want to ask all of you, you who are watching online, I want to ask all of you, how quick are you to turn on God? Because he hasn't answered that prayer yet. Because he hasn't delivered you from that situation yet. Because you don't feel like he's hearing you, because you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior, are you that quick to turn on the God who created you? Are you that quick to turn on the God who sent his one only begotten son? Are you that quick to turn on the God who sacrificed his life for you so that you may have eternal life with your Creator? Are you that quick? I mean, I know it's not the most pleasant and joyful question in the world, but it's honest and it's forthright, and I just want to be forthright with you. I want to ask you, when you're in the wilderness, do you think that that's the time to give up on God? I know there's no specific time at all, because you should never, but really? Why are we so quick to turn on God? They were so quick, and I want to continue on verse 24. It says, when he cast it into the waters, the waters were made sweet. There made a statute and an ordinance for them. And there, I want you to write this down, point number two, in the wilderness is where your faith is tested and forged. In the wilderness is where your faith is tested and forged. A lot of time we think that God is absent from us, absent from our life, absent from our walk because we are going through certain trials and tribulations. But you see it clear as day. In the wilderness is where your faith is tested. In the wilderness is where your faith is forged. In the wilderness is where you need to make a decision if you're going to continue on this walk. Jesus said the walk is straight and narrow for a reason. It's not wide. Only a few can enter. In the wilderness is where you will be able to determine that I will sink my heels into the ground that is my firm foundation. And in the wilderness is where I will cry out to God and praise him forever and ever. In the wilderness is where your faith is tested and forged. Exodus 15 verse 26 says this. And remember, read what's in the bold. And said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Listen. Just because you are in a wilderness period, I don't know if it's for 3 days, I don't know if it's for 6 months, I don't know your story, I don't know what you're going through, but I can tell you for a fact that I know who does. I can tell you for a fact that it is not meant to break you, it is meant to make you. I can tell you for a fact that the problems that you have in life is meant to turn you to Christ, not away. So when you're struggling, when you're down and you feel like you're out for the count, that especially is where you need to lean into God. It's where you need to lean into His Word. It's where you need to lean into prayer. It's where you need to lean into seeking in Him, because He will deliver you, not by your might, by His might, not by your power, but by His power. So you need to realize that. Recognize the God who has called you apart. Recognize who is leading and holds your future. You need to recognize. Come on, church. Somebody say recognize. Come on now. Listen. Exodus 16, verses 1 through 3, it says this: on the day of the after they departed from the land of Egypt, it says, then the whole congregation of the children of Israel against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had by the hand of the Lord in the land of when we sat by pots of and when we ate bread to the full. I want to stop right there. You see, in the wilderness, it really goes to show what you really value. For 400 years, they were oppressed. For 400 years, they were enslaved. For 400 years, they were doing backbreaking work. And you mean to tell me that it took 6 weeks? You mean to tell me it initially took 3 days, and after that, it took, what, a month and a half? And what do they miss? Bread and meat. You want to give up on God because you don't got your bread and meat? We cannot be serious. It's so funny. And listen, I'm talking from experience. It's so funny that when we get in through these rough times in life, when we get in through these hard periods, it really goes to show what we really love. It really goes to show what we really put our faith in. Because if you mean to tell me that they would have rather died by God who delivered them, rather died by God who answered their prayers just because they don't get bread and meat, we cannot be serious. We cannot be serious. They want to put bread and meat over the Lord God Almighty. And I want to ask you, I want to be forthright with you. I want to be honest. What are you putting over God? What are you choosing to follow instead of follow Christ? What are you choosing to put your faith in? What are you choosing to put your joy and your pleasure in? It's a sad, sad thing that we all, myself included, struggle with. Listen, I want to finish off this verse. It says, for you have brought us out into this to kill this whole assembly with man. If they only know what the wilderness period was actually for, if they only knew what God was doing. God brought them out, and He's bringing them out into the land that He promised, land that He promised their forefathers. That's what He's doing. But so many times we just get this tunnel vision, and we can only focus on what's in front of us instead of focus on the one that is in front of us, the one that leads the way, the one that is there in a pillar of a fire by night and a pillar of cloud in the morning. It's so sad to see. But as you know, if you've read this story, you'll know that God answered them, and that He rained manna down from heaven and quails and all that to answer His people. And I just want to stop here. I know it's not in my notes, but I want to stop here. Listen, you got to pray without ceasing. You got to pray without ceasing. Because as you can already tell, the first two complaints that they gave, God already answered them. Now, if we could just have faith that God will answer our prayers, if we could just have faith that God is always with His people, if we could just have faith that God hears us, and that if we just seek Him diligently above all else and seek first the kingdom of righteousness, that all these other things will be added unto you. That's what we need to realize. That's what we need to recognize. In just 6 short weeks, in just a month and a half after seeing the Red Sea split open, singing praises to their Creator from being freed from captivity, they begin to murmur and complain about the new road that they are facing. And some of you may be in this season. Some of you may be struggling about what exams are going to bring you. Some of you may be struggling about your situation at home. Some of you may be struggling with your marriage. Some of you may be struggling with your physical pain. Some of you may be struggling with mental pain. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I know some of you may be thinking, David, I just feel sometimes like I'm a bag of bones walking, like I'm a bag of dead bones walking, and that I have no more life. I feel like I'm just dead. Well, let me tell you that I know the resurrection and the life. I got to tell somebody that I know who is the way, the truth, and the life, and we must live by faith and not by sight. Somebody give God praise. Somebody give God praise. I want to remind you all. I really want to remind you all to not let what was meant to forge your faith create doubt, anger, or resentment toward God or for anybody else for that matter. That's not what these low points in our lives are for. That's not what they are for. We're led in a valley, put aside, and that is where he will restore us. Come on, somebody. That is what I need y'all to understand. It's in my verse right here, but it just speaks to how we can just turn our backs on God. Remember that God brought Moses to Pharaoh and he said to let my people go. That's what he said. That's what God told Moses to say. He said to let my people go. And he said that time and time again, right before each plague, before Pharaoh said no. He said, let my people go. Let my people go. Let my people go. And now God's people who are in the wilderness, when they're supposed to be trusting in him, when they're supposed to be looking to him for direction, they're turning their backs on him. And it got to the point so much that when God and Moses were talking on the mount, when God was giving Moses direction, when God was showing Moses things, speaking to him who was faithful to God in that point in time. Listen, God said this in Exodus chapter 2, verse 7 through 8. It may not be on the screen, but I want you to listen. Pay attention or else you just might miss it. God said this, and the Lord said to Moses, go, get down for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Listen. I understand that some of us may not go as far to do something like that, but the fact still remains. There are so many times that we look to others for direction. There are so many times that we run to others to comfort us. There are so many times that we look to things, people, places, things to give us pleasure, to give us all these things to make the pain go away instead of going to God, instead of focusing on him, instead of leaning to him and not leaning to our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledging him so that he can direct our path. Listen, I want you to notice this. Don't become someone that God can no longer recognize. He said it was my people. It was my people when he was talking to Pharaoh. It was my people. But because of their rebellion, because of their doubt, their anger, their resentment, because of that, it just felt like when I read that, I just felt like, man, it's like God can no longer recognize them. All these people that he did all of this for, these people that he was still, mind you, it's not like they're in the wilderness by themselves. Remember what you just read. He is still with them. He is still with them. He goes before them to lead the way. He's in a pillar of cloud by morning. He is in a pillar of fire by night. And yet for some reason, when things get bleak, they just think that God is no longer with them. For some reason. And they're just becoming someone that God can no longer recognize. I don't know what pain you're struggling with. Physical, spiritual, emotional, mental. But please do not become someone that God can no longer recognize. Now listen, I need you to understand this, and I want you guys to write this down, because this is where they failed at. I want you to consult God in your decisions continuously. continuously. Listen, the Bible says that we should pray without ceasing. The Bible says that we need to come with God with all of our problems, no matter how big or small. Don't think that just because, it's just a frustration for the day. I got in the traffic and I got a little irate. No, pray to God. God is with you always, so he sees what you're going through. Talk to him. That's why there was a death on the cross for you. That's why all these things happen. That's why this situation happens, so you can learn from it. You need to consult God in your decisions continuously. Don't just because you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, don't just turn your back. No. God has never turned his back on you. You as a believer. And God is not turning his back on you even if you don't know him. He's there with his arms stretched out wide waiting for you to come home to him that he may give you peace. I want to give you an example, because so often we make room for everything in our day-to-day journey throughout life besides the instrument that will light the way. Now listen, pay attention or else you just might miss it. I'll be right back. I want to give you an example real fast. I want to give you an example because I love that the word of God can be made so real, right? I love that the word of God is just so true. I love the Holy Spirit, that when he speaks through his people, that he can speak it in a way that we can understand. See, the psalmist said this in Psalm 119, 105. He said, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Listen, and so many of us that are going through these deep trials, these deep tribulations, these hard points in life, we just don't focus on him at all. And we leave that lamp. What did Jesus say? He said, "Which of you would light a lamp and put it on a and yet that's what we do. I want you to understand this. So many of us can be in church but not in Christ. So many of us can see the light, but not to choose to pick it up. Because everything looks so great right now. I mean, why do I need that lamp for? I mean, things are looking great. I'm on the mountain. I mean, the Red Sea just closed on my enemies. I have nobody to worry about right now. Why do I need to be in church? Why do I need to be prayed up with brothers and sisters in Christ? Why do I need to hang out with those that follow the Lord? Why do I need to do all of this? Why? It doesn't make sense. But when things start to get tough, stage lights out. When things start to get tough, it's all right. Well, I should be all right. I still got this light. I don't got to worry about that. When things start to get tough and we start to really need Jesus, and we start to really need to pour into him and to pour into his spirit. God, just give me the strength. Listen, row three out. When things start to get a little bit darker, we're like, all right, hold on. Wait a minute. let's stop real quick. Let me just sit by the light. I'm not gonna pick it up. I'm not gonna go to church, but I'm gonna know that, all right, I can go to God for these circumstances. I can go to God for these situations. I mean, I'll be okay. It's not the end of the world, right? I mean, things are all right. Things are okay. I'm in the wilderness, but I think I can do it on my own. That's what a lot of us may not say, but that's how we act. If we want to, can we be honest with each other, church? Can we be honest? Because when things start to get bleak, spotlights out. When things start to get bleak, I'll be all right. I still think I see the light at the end of the tunnel. Row four out. But when things start to get bleak, some of us so quickly run, pick up the lantern and say, "God, help me. Jesus, Lord, oh my goodness, Lord, help me. Please, please, please. God, I can't do this on my own. I can't do this on my own. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me, Father. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And when we're supposed to be, I know this is a LED lamp, but my old school folks know I'm talking about, you need the kerosene, you need the oil to light it up. But instead, some of us, when we take up this lamp, when we look to see the end path, not the path that God is carving out to us, when we look and we see the obstacles, when we look and we see the amount of work it needs to take to trust in God so that he can deliver us, instead of brightening up the lamp, instead of brightening up his word, instead of praying more, instead of reading his word more for guidance and direction, what do? We turn it off. We turn it off. Can we be honest tonight, today, church? Can we be honest? We turn it off. We say, nah, this is a little too much. I'm gonna sulk here. I'm gonna go back to my old ways. I'm gonna start cursing again. I'm gonna start cheating again. I'm gonna start going back to cheating on my exams, cheating on my people. I'm gonna start doing things my own way. And then we get lost. We get stuck. We get angry. We get frustrated and we get confused. And we get confused that when the wilderness that was meant to test and forge our faith becomes the death of us. Listen, I don't know if you know this, but if you haven't, spoiler alert. What was supposed to be a short trip in the wilderness lasted 40 years. Because by time and time and time again, they chose not to lean to God. They chose not to put their trust in Him. They chose not to seek to Him for direction. And so they stood and they stayed in this period of darkness. They stood and they stayed in this period of confusion, of frustration, of anger. Of anger. I know you said, oh, I want to get involved in ministry. Oh, I want to help out. I want to be a part of the worship and media team. I want to be a part of youth. I want to be a part of women's ministry. I want to be a part of women of character. But there is so much work. And God, I wanted to be a part of this so you could help me. If I'm being honest, I wanted to be a part of this so you could help me, God. But it feels like I'm giving more than I'm getting because there's so much more work added onto my workload. God, you know the situation at work. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to sustain it. God, I need your help. These bills, they're getting worse and worse. God, this pain, it feels like I can't wake up. God, please help me. God, this, God, that. But we don't pick up the word. But we don't pick up the word. We put it on a shelf. We put it on a shelf. We see it every day when we enter our house. We see it every time, but we don't want to pick it up. Instead, we go sit in front of the TV to give some sort of pleasure when we get off of work so that we can make it through the rest of the day. We stay frustrated. We start to look to other friends and see what they're doing to see how they can help out instead of focusing on the path that God put in front of you. But if just one or two people could just put their trust in God, if just some people, I mean, if just this congregation alone, look at what God can do. Look what He did with just two people, Moses and Aaron, for His kingdom. Imagine if all of us got together and started to really seek God, started to really pray, started to really lead into His word, started to really have radical faith, and started to match the crazy love that He has for you, for your love for Him. Imagine what God could do. Imagine what God can do. Don't become someone that God can no longer recognize because of the period of the wilderness. Even in the wilderness, God is always with His people. In the wilderness is where your faith is tested and forged. If some people could just look up and believe. Look up and believe. That's what the Israelites needed to do. God was with them. They could visually see the representation of God Almighty with them every day when they woke up, when they were going on their way, when they went to sleep. It was literally His representation was with them, but they chose to look down. They chose to just do it on their own. They did not want to trust in God Almighty. Instead of picking up the lamp, listen, the Bible says your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Listen, I don't know who needs to know this today. I don't know if you never knew this, but a lamp, it's not meant for you to see all the way down at the end of the road. It's not meant for you to see the future. It's meant for you to see the path that you're walking and to take it step by step, second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year. Just take it one day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking of you. If we could just put our trust in God and each day deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow Him, just imagine what He can do in, through, and for us. I just need somebody to understand. I need somebody to realize. I need somebody to recognize that He is the way, the truth, and the life. I need somebody to realize that He is good on His promise. I need somebody to realize that His word never comes back void. I need somebody to realize that God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, is still your God too. You just need to accept Him into your life. I need somebody to realize that the same God that created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and everything that encompasses it and rested on the seventh is the same God God that said he will be with you always, even until the end of the age. The same God, by his words he told us that. And by his words he said, let there be light. And it was so. So my brothers and sisters in Christ, if I could just have one or two people realize what God is willing to do for you, if you just trust in him, if you put your faith in him, if you lean not to your own understanding, but follow him, he is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. If you could just look up and believe, if you could look up and believe, said weeping may tarry for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. I need somebody to realize that. Somebody to turn to him for your problems. Somebody to turn to him for your solution. You need to let God lead the way. Let God lead the way. Let God lead the way. They just need to look up, look up, look up, look up and believe. Let God lead the way. Not by our might, by his might, by his power, by his spirit. He will deliver you in his due time. And his due time is perfect. It's righteous. It's pure. It's everything that you could ever hope for and more than that. Why? Because he has said that he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask, think, or imagine. So you need to put your trust in God. Listen, Hebrews 12 verse 1 through 2 says this. Read what's in the bold. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin in which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the of God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Understand this. Understand this. Jesus came down. He came down from heaven. He lived a life that was so beneath him, but he lived it to show us how to live, to live it, to show us how to love, live it, to show us how to be humble, show us how to be kind, how to be gentle, how to have peace, how to have joy, how to live for God, how to live for God. God was a perfect example to do this. And this passage of scripture, it shows us that we will be going through tough times. But just because times are tough does not mean that it's time to give up on God. Come on. Hebrews 12:11 says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. To those who have been trained by it. Your wilderness period is meant to forge your faith, not break it. Your wilderness period is meant to turn you to God, not away from him. So trust in him. He will show you what you need to do in his due time. And not just coming on Sundays, but going to his word every day, but going into his presence every day, but trusting him, being set apart at school, being set apart on the team, being set apart in the workplace, being set apart in the grocery store. I mean, you gotta walk different when you're in Christ, because Christ is different. You gotta understand that you cannot be ye not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Come on, man. Psalms 30 verse 5. I want to say it again. It seems like some of you feel like God is angry with you. And if he is, listen, that is between you and him. But I want you to understand this. Psalms 30 verse 5. I said it before and I will say it again. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Write that down. Joy comes in the morning. Because some of us forget that when we're going through that period. Some of us forget that when we're going through that trial, that joy comes in the morning. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it doesn't matter what you went through yesterday. It doesn't matter what you're going through today. Jesus Christ is the same through it all. He is always with his people. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Trust in him. Trust in him. And listen, I wish I could tell you that every single person in the wilderness period for those 40 years had a happy ending. But it wasn't the case. Because it's not always easy to do what is right. That is why the path is straight and narrow. For 40 years, the children of Israel rebelled. And God said this in Deuteronomy 1, verse 35 through 36. I know it's not on the screen, but listen to the words that are coming out of my mouth. He said this, that surely not one of these men of this evil generation shall see that good land of which I swore to give to your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him and his children, I'm giving the land on which he walked, because he wholly followed the Lord. We can see the difference in approaches that were taken for those 40 years. A large group, not 30, not 300, not 5,000, not 500,000. It was so many more, and not one of them were able to see the land that God promised because of their rebellion, because they did not choose to trust in him. If you know Christ as your personal Savior, as your personal Lord and Savior, I urge you to continue trusting in him. Do not give up on him now. He did not drag you and bring you all the way here just to leave you here. If you do not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, if you don't know him, I urge you to trust in him. Let him take the wheel. Let him guide your life, and you will see wondrous things through his spirit and through his power and through his might in his time. Point number five, I need you to write this down. A decision needs to be made. Because that's the fact of the matter. A decision needs to be made. When you're going through your tough times, when you feel like you're all alone, when it feels like the loved ones that you had have left you, a decision needs to be made. Are you going to trust in God, or are you going to trust in your own understanding? Which I want to be forthright. Our understanding is very little. But his, I mean, his is it's insurmountable. We can't even comprehend it. Listen, if you stay faithful to the one who is faithful, you will reap the blessing. For the Bible tells us that he who endures to the end shall be saved. Make a decision to stand for the God who stands with you. Make a decision to stand for the God who stands with you. Jesus came from heaven's throne, and died on a cross, a death he did not deserve, without sin, so that the chasm of our sin that separates us from our God and Creator can be filled by his blood, by his sacrifice. A decision needs to be made. If you're watching online and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you're watching online and you just never heard about Jesus before, I gotta tell you, he's everything that you ever dreamed and imagined and more. His spirit is amazing. His spirit, his comfort, the comforter, will comfort you through every single problem and situation. He is your firm foundation. Can we all stand? Can the prayer team come forward? I said a decision needs to be made. And now is the time for you to make that decision. Now is the time for you to ask yourself, are you going to let pain? Are you going to let the spiritual bondage to sin? Are you going to let yourself be separated from Christ? Or are you going to take up the word and let it light your way? If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, if you don't know him as the light of your life, on my count, I urge you to come forward. If you do know him as your personal Savior, but you feel like you just went a little away, you feel like the wilderness period that you've been in is much more than you can bear, and that you've been trying to do it on your own, and you've been trying and trying and trying, and it just hasn't been working, and you want to renew your faith. If you feel like, even if you're still in that faith in Jesus, and you feel like you need just a intercession on your behalf, on my count, I urge you to come forward. I urge you to make a decision. I urge you not to let anybody else around you stop you from seeing a good father. Stop you from talking to your good doctor. Stop you from talking to the good shepherd who would shepherd you into the kingdom of heaven. All you need to do is believe. So on my count, I want you to come. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Come to the altar. 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 If you can't come to the altar, because pain is just around you, I urge you to slip up a hand in one of us. If not the prayer team, then somebody in the audience, and you know you are a prayer warrior, I urge you to see that hand. If you're watching online, for those of you watching online, I urge you to put it in the comment section. One of us from the prayer chain will reach out to you. I urge you to not let yourself, not let your own mind stop you from the goodness of God. He is our firm foundation. I urge you, let's worship him this morning. If you're praying, don't you dare stop praying. If you're worshiping, don't you dare stop worshiping. If you're praising, don't you dare stop praising. Earlier, you heard me say that God is crazy about you, and it's true. And before you leave today, I urge you to answer the call. I urge you to put away all pride and restraint. The Bible says to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Approach God in prayer. Let us join with you in giving everything you need and you have to him. I encourage you, don't stop. If you felt that tug on your heart and you didn't come up, you're still not late. It's still not too late. We'll be here with you. We'll be praying with you. We'll be praying for you. If you're watching online and you need a healing touch, please put it in the comment section. Some way, somehow, by God's grace, we will reach out to you. We will comfort you. I just want to tell you something. I know some of you that know me personally. I know you're, this entire time, I know you're thinking, well, would you look at the pot calling the kettle black? You're always stressed. You're always this, that, and the third. Listen, it's only fitting for God to use me to make me learn what I needed to learn to give you this word so that I can apply it to my own life. I'm encouraging you. I'm urging you. Listen, I remember one Sunday, I help out a little bit around the church on Sunday mornings, and Brother Chris, who's on the camera, he saw me so stressed, and he said to me, listen, David, I want you to remember, the pressure is not on us. It's on God. The pressure is not on you. It's on God. So I urge you to go to God. He said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Now I'm going to pray, and I urge you, do not leave yet. Do not leave until you have spent time with God. Do not leave until you have given God your problems. Do not leave until you have given God your burdens and exchange it so you can get a yoke that is easy and a burden that is light. Do not leave unless you have accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior. I urge you. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the word. I thank you for the word that has been given. I thank you for allowing me to be a part of you giving your people your word. I thank you for everybody that is here, everybody that is online, everybody that is listening, God. And I just ask, Heavenly Father, I ask, O Creator, that you just strengthen us so that when we are tested and forged in the wilderness, that we will still be faithful. That the weapons formed against us will not prosper, because you said they won't. So I ask you, Jesus, to as you always have been, be good on your promise. Give us that encouragement. Give us that boldness to step out for prayer. Give us that boldness to seek you in everything that we do, and everywhere that we are, and every place that we go, knowing that you are always with your people. So please, Jesus, let your spirit fill this place in and through every single heart of the believers that are here, and let it reach the non-believers that they may know and see that you are God Almighty, and that they need you in their life to overcome whatever trials and whatever tribulations that may lie ahead. In Jesus' precious name, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Seek God, seek God, seek God. Let's worship.